Blog Talk Radio.
There's the snap, hand to Riggins. Good hole. He's got the first down, the 40. He's gone. The 35, the 30, the 20. He's gone. He's gone. Touchdown, Washington Redskins.
Woo-hoo. Kick up. Kick it on the way.
It's good. It's good. It's good. Adam Vinatieri goes to 40. 8-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots.
Gets the snap. He's back. He pumps. Scrambles around. Throws it back corner of the end zone. Santonio with a touchdown. Santonio holds. I don't know how he did it. Dominique Parker Cromartie doesn't know how he did it. But they rule touchdown in the far right corner of the end zone.
In motion. Comes right. Back to throw Montana. Steps up, throws. Touchdown!
The rush. Gonna be hit. Gonna be sacked. No, we got out of it. Now he fires downfield. And it is not caught at the 24-yard line. How in the world did he do that?
Good evening, all, and Happy New Year to you. Fred House, my company here from Fred House Sports Radio Studios, our first 2017 broadcast of the year. So Happy New Year to everyone there. The last time we were on was on New Year's Eve, as I was there in the middle of the afternoon bringing you the relaxed Fred House already. But here tonight, Red Zone Blitz, 17th week, last week of the NFL season, final week of the NFL season, not the final week of this program, but just like that. If we're into January, it must mean that we're pretty darn close to the conclusion of the NFL season, and that occurred on Sunday evening. All 16 games were played this past Sunday, and now there's no doubt about anything. We know where everything stands at this point, and we'll be breaking it down this evening as we get ready for Wild Card Weekend, just a few days away now, as we'll be looking ahead to the playoff season. And a good one it should be, because my goodness, we've got quite a few storylines that are already beginning to set up with teams like the Oakland Raiders and the Houston Texans, and we'll get into any others that we might be able to think of. There's a couple of interesting facts I'm going to be bringing up here this evening about a couple of teams that are in the playoffs. But well, you know, I got a couple of things. We're going to do a postmortem here on week 17. I guess in many respects, we'll take a look, do a little bit of a postmortem on the entire season in some respect. And if there's a team that you could possibly do a postmortem on, that would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And if there are Buccaneers fans listening, I would encourage you, please call in. I would love to hear from a Buccaneers fan, 347-826-9964. Please give me a call. Because here's the question I've got. Was this a successful season for the Buccaneers? They didn't make the playoffs. Going into week 17, everybody knew that apparently there were, you know, all kinds of different machinations that would have to fall perfectly into place in order for the Buccaneers to get into the playoffs. But they did, in fact, end up winning this past weekend, ending up the season with a 9-7 record. And their first time with a winning season since 2010. So, as an outsider looking in, I look at that and say, hey, the Buccaneers, their fan base, that team, they've got to be looking ahead and saying, hey, better days are ahead. We're almost there. I think that's a successful season. And again, if you're a Buccaneers fan, I'd love to hear from you. At the same time, however, let's juxtapose those Buccaneers fans against Washington Redskins fans, who, in fact, did make the playoffs last year, did win the NFC East last year, and all they had to do was just one thing this past weekend, and that was win. And that they didn't do. And they did it wonderfully. They didn't win wonderfully. They looked really bad. And as I have down in my notes here for tonight's program, hey, Washington, you just had one job. You couldn't get it done. And I'm not surprised, because I'm going to be honest with you. I frankly think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers might just be a better team than the Washington Redskins. Yeah, you heard me say it. So, Washington fans, if you want to call me up and call me out, hey, I'd love to hear from you as well. 347-826-9964. There's the number again. But I got to tell you something. Washington Redskins fans have got to be some of the most depressed, in my opinion, right now. Because that's all they had to do was just win. And I think they made it perfectly clear who the Washington Redskins really are. At the same time, let's go out west for a second. The Denver Broncos, they won. They got their team to 9-7, but it wasn't good enough to get into the playoffs. We knew that, though, at the end of last week. So no big surprise there. But what it does is it opens up a lot of questions for Oakland Raiders fans, a team and a season that so many Raiders fans, so many fans, just average football fans across the country were looking at and saying, holy smokes, this is a team that might be contending for a Super Bowl. And now all of a sudden they're looking at themselves, they're saying, can we even get out of the first round? That's a tough way to go. So we'll take a look at that game. We're going to take a look as well at the talking about the Oakland Raiders. How about those Kansas City Chiefs, who all they did was just take advantage of all of the problems of the Raiders. And, well, they just snuck in there this week and just, hey, we'll just take care of the division. No problem. Oh, while we're at it, we'll lock up a first round bye. Yeah, that's exactly what the Raiders lost. And that's what the Raiders really couldn't afford to lose. Now it belongs to Kansas City. They did what they needed to do. Hey, Washington Redskins, are you listening? Kansas City did what they had to do. They won. How about those Green Bay Packers? They did exactly what they had to do. They won. Not surprising from my perspective. Six games in a row is what the Green Bay Packers did. And they took over that division. Only their, what I see, it's a six-game winning streak and their fifth title. I believe it's their fifth title in six seasons. Yeah, that's all the Green Bay Packers did. Got to wonder, got to start to ask yourself, are in fact the Green Bay Packers perhaps the team to be rivaling the Dallas Cowboys for the NFC championship game and the championship and the title? Anyhow, if anybody wants to jump in with us, we're going to be going through a whole bunch of different things here this evening. And it's just, as it always does at this time of year, it's just going to go round and round and round. We'll try to follow some sort of a structure here, but hey, wherever the conversation takes us, that's where we'll go. I've thrown the number out there twice for both Redskins fans and for my Tampa Bay fans. Let me throw it out there for all of our fans and anybody else that wants to come calling in. 347-826-9964 is how you get a hold of us here at Frat House Sports. Otherwise, hey, don't be shy. Just leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room. You can do it that way, or you can get a hold of me over on Twitter, Frat House Mike. I'm always checking my Twitter notifications to see if there's anything going on over there. So don't be afraid to do that. At Frat House Mike, that's how you can get me on Twitter. Let me get my co-host in here, who's been here with me not just for the past 17 weeks, but for the past, how about 3 years? Yeah. Brandon, couple yes, of sir. Interesting things I came up with. I just thought I would throw them out there just for, well, as they like to say, proverbial, you know, giggles. The Atlanta Falcons, who are on a bye this coming week, they have the second best record in the NFC. Interesting little tidbit.
Who would have
fact.
Thunk that, too, by the way? Just
Well, not you.
With that
for
defense,
sure.
With that defense, to get a second round bye, you know, the second seed. That's telling you something.
Yeah, like I said, not for you, for sure. I mean, what was it, around week seven? You were saying, I don't think this Falcons team is.
I'll be honest with you. I think they were the beneficiary of being in a pretty weak division.
I mean,
the Panthers were not all that. The Saints were not all that.
I think, too, they were the beneficiary of a – I think they got off to a really good start. I think they had a really good early roll. And I think that they had momentum. You know what I mean? If there's a definition for momentum for a team, it would be the Atlanta Falcons. They just got on a roll, and I think that's basically what happened.
I like momentum like Green Bay has, not like what Atlanta did.
Well, early
momentum,
though,
can
lead to a lot.
Six games in a row. Yeah, can lead to getting you into the playoffs, but a six-game winning streak going into the playoffs can lead you to, you know, a title game. You know, and I think you kind of alluded to that in your intro. I think that's kind of what we're headed for, is a Green Bay Packer title game.
Well, but a great example, and not because they're lacking momentum, but a great example of the opposite of what we're talking about, that is late momentum, would be teams like the Houston Texans and the Oakland Raiders, both teams of whom, well, Raiders in particular, are dealing with kind of issues a little bit beyond their control. But I think the Houston Texans are a perfect example of a team going in an opposite direction, but had that early momentum early in the season where it didn't necessarily or may not necessarily work out for them in the end. But an interesting fact about the Atlanta Falcons: the Atlanta Falcons will not play a playoff game for as long as they're in the playoffs outdoors. Think about that.
Okay.
Dallas Cowboys will not, for the duration of the playoffs, as long as they're in there, the Dallas Cowboys will not play a game outside of Texas.
Yep, because the Super Bowl's in Houston.
Correct.
Yep.
I think that definitely gives Dallas an advantage. There's no doubt in my mind. If you don't have to travel, you know, that's a great advantage.
No, absolutely.
So, but two interesting facts there I thought I would bring up for you. Now, we know what the games are that are coming up on Wildcard Weekend. And before we really get into, and without giving away anything, because we always like to save our picks for Thursday night for our Frat House Sports Show, without giving anything away, of the
that's
going
to be tough to do, I think.
Sometimes you can tell.
Sometimes you can get an idea where we're leaning by our comments.
You might be able to sneak one in, yeah. But of the four games that are coming up here, it was interesting because I listen to sports talk radio during the daytime. Boy, a couple of these games were really being dissed, particularly the one of the AFC games and the actually really both Saturday games. Both Saturday games were being dissed in some conversation by the talk show host. Of the four matchups that we've got coming up this coming weekend, which one would you say right now is the most compelling?
Well, I think the most, probably, I guess you'd have to go Raiders-Texans because of the quarterback situation and how good Oakland was looking going into, you know, the final few weeks of the season to now being to their third quarterback. I mean, it's come out today. They're preparing to start for Connor Cook as the starter because McGloin's got an injured shoulder. They're not sure if he's going to be able to go. And if he could go, how well he'd be able to play. So they're just preparing Cook. The Texans are going with Osweiler no matter what. They've already said that. Even if Savage is ready to go, he'll be the number two quarterback. If he's not, Brandon Whedon will be number two. So Texans are in a little better shape quarterback-wise than the Raiders, that's for sure.
Yep.
I think that makes this game probably the most compelling, because it's going to be sad if the Texans find a way to beat the Raiders. I'll say that. Because the Raiders were looking like a solid number two seed throughout the end of the NFL season, and you know they should have been, you know, right there. And you know, if not for injury, which you know you can't predict or avoid, it is what it is. You know, but yeah, it's a shame. The team was really playing well, and you know, I'm not even sure how I'm gonna pick on this game yet. I'll probably wait.
Yeah, I don't know either.
What I read, it's such a tough one. I mean, I think the fact that they've named Osweiler the starter and they basically threw the ball back in his court, you know, gives him a chance to say, okay, you know, and put his stamp on this team and, you know, win the game. So, you know, I kind of got to like the situation, you know, from that side a little better. But, you know, like I said, it's a tough one. I said, you know, and looking at the rest of the games, I'm personally compelled probably by the Lions-Seahawks a little bit, because I might be smelling a bit of an upset in that game. And I don't know. We'll just have to see how that plays out, you know, as we get closer. But, you know, I think the other games are probably – the other two are probably going to go pretty much the way people would expect them to go. Yeah, it's just kind of – kind of the way I think it's going to go. I'll tell you what, there's going to be four games on and I want to watch every one of them. There's not one I look at and say, no, I don't really care to watch that game. So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
A good thing.
Oh, well, no, there's little doubt about that. Even when you have a situation, as you point out, the Raiders and the Texans were, you know, you got two quarterbacks that probably weren't supposed to be there. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, on the Raiders side, definitely. On the Texans side, not quite as sure whether, in fact, Osweiler was supposed to be there or not. Certainly didn't look that way in the final couple of weeks of the season. So, you know, you got yourself a little bit of a ticklish situation there with that one. Interestingly, that you're bringing that one up, though, is the most compelling of the four matchups coming up this weekend, because that was the one that, in my listening to some sports talk radio this afternoon, was being brought up as perhaps maybe the game that was the least compelling. And I frankly completely disagreed with that. I think all of them are compelling. I think all
of
them are
compelling.
You know what
it is? Can I tell you what it is?
Yeah.
There's no star power. You have no star quarterbacks. You know, I mean, you don't have Carr in there for the Raiders. Now you're down to their third guy. You're getting Osweiler back after being benched to a Tom Savage who's now not playing. So, and I guess there's no marquee. There's no Aaron Rodgers. There's no Eli Manning, or even if you go to some of the other games, you got Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson. You don't have any of that. What's his name? The Lions quarterback is Stafford. Matt Stafford.
Stafford. Blew
my brain there for a minute. You know, you just don't have any of that with that first game. So that's probably why they're saying it. But, you know, I think personally that's what makes it more interesting. And, you know, it's like I said, it's going to be interesting to see how the Raiders, you know, prevail or don't prevail out of this.
Well, now it's interesting because if I were to apply the same question that I just threw at you, you know, which of the games is the most compelling? Yeah, obviously Raiders Texans is interesting. I'm absolutely going to be there to watch the whole darn thing. I'll be pulling for the Raiders, despite the fact they don't have their number one quarterback. But I'm going to be honest with you, Brennan, for the same reasons that you brought up a sneaky little suspicion you might have about that Lions-Seahawks, I have one about the Dolphins-Steelers. And then, similarly, I kind of think you might see, I don't know, Giants-Packers. I think that could be really, really interesting. We've got some interesting lines setting up on both of those games. First of all, Pittsburgh's got the biggest line, the largest line of the entire weekend. Pittsburgh is an overwhelming favorite, 10-1, 10-point favorite over Miami, 10-point favorite over Miami.
Well, you know why that is, right? I mean, there's a question as to who's playing quarterback. You know, if Tannehill's ready to go, is he going to be 100%? You know, that kind of thing. So that's probably why you're seeing that line. You know, I don't know that, you know, I don't think you're going to see any confidence in the Dolphins, you know, on the road in Pittsburgh. I don't know what the weather forecast is going to be, but I'm sure it's not going to be bright and sunny like it would be in Miami. Might be bright and sunny, but it may not be warm is my hunch anyway. That's probably why you're seeing that line. I think it's a combination of factors on top of, you know, I don't know. I just don't think, I don't see it like you do with Miami. I didn't think they'd make the playoffs. I'm kind of shocked they did. New England tore them apart. I mean, didn't even break a sweat with them. I mean, you can't call them a playoff team after the way they got torn apart in New England. And there's no excuses. They got the same team going to Pittsburgh. I just don't see how they're gonna, you know, it'd be a monumental upset at this point based on the line. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I would agree with you. I would agree with you. We're going to see an upset, though, this weekend. There's no doubt in my mind. There's going to be an upset.
Yes.
Now,
yep.
I'm
picking one upset.
The question could be, could it be the Giants in Green Bay? Green Bay right now a 4.5-point favorite. You know, could that one? The Giants, I got to tell you something. I sat and I watched the game on Sunday. We had that one on the schedule anyhow here for this evening. So let's get right over to it. We'll get to that game. The Giants beat the Redskins 19-10. All right. Now this was a game, the Redskins, all they had to do was just come out and win. And you know something, Brandon, it seemed very doable. The Giants, in my opinion, have been schizophrenic. Their defense has been up and down. They haven't had a very solid ground game all season long. Eli Manning has been up and down. He's had one good game. Then he comes out, he looks really great. And then he comes out, not so good. And it was a game that Washington absolutely positively could have won. I'm not saying they should have won, but they could have won it. They're at home. Washington is at home. Forgot Eli, 17 of 27, 180 yards. All right. Nothing to write home about there. No touchdowns, no interceptions for Eli Manning. Nothing there. 82.3 passer rating. Paul Perkins. All of a sudden, the ground game shows up. Paul Perkins, 102 yards on the ground, 21 carries, almost a 5-yard average per carry. Rashid Jennings with a rushing touchdown, 52 yards from Rashid Jennings, 161 yards from a Giants team that hasn't run the ball basically, really when it comes right down to it, all season long. And then the defense stepped up, and I'm thinking to myself, where in the freaking world did this Giants defense come from? And that makes me start to sit there and wonder, oh, my God, is this Giants team all of the sudden talking about momentum, is that momentum building all of a sudden for this Giants team that, you know, all they need to do is smell playoffs in the air as they have on numerous occasions in the past. And, yeah, we'll find our way in there. And then, all right, we'll just do it one week at a time, one week at a time. I'm shocked at the number of analysts that I'm hearing. Look for the Giants to be vying for a possible NFC championship.
Well, I don't agree with them. I think they're hitting the hottest team in football right now with the Packers on a 6-0 win streak. They just, you know, won in Detroit on the road to win the division and get the home game. I don't see the Giants being able to hang with them offensively. You know what I mean? I don't think the Giants have the tools to shut down all the weapons that the Packers have. Now they've found a running game, you know, with Ty Montgomery of late. Not as great of a running game as you were just pointing out what the Giants had against the Redskins, but they have enough of one that it's now a real threat. So yeah, I think the Packers hit everything just right. You know, they got hot at the right time. They're going into the playoffs on a really high note. You know, look at it like this. You could say both the Giants and the Packers played a playoff game last week. Now, granted, the game didn't, the Giants and Redskins game didn't really mean anything to the Giants per se.
Correct.
But it did to the Redskins. So, you know, essentially was a quasi playoff game. You know, we already, you know, I'm sure it's on the agenda, but I'm sure we'll talk more about the Packers and the Lions game. You know, that was for the whole division. So, you know, the eye test to me says the Packers win that easily over there. I don't think the Giants, I'm surprised the line, I'm looking at a line that says the Giants or the Packers are favored by 5. To me, that seems a little light. Not if you're going to make Pittsburgh a 10 and Seattle an 8-point favorite. I don't know if I like that line per se on the Packers. I think it's a little low. I think it should be more like 6 or 7.
Yeah, and it makes me
maybe
wonder.
I'm not giving the Giants enough respect either. That could be.
Well, and that's you know, that's what makes me wonder. I look at this line, I match it up against what I'm hearing some of the national talking heads saying. You know, well, look for this Giants team. They're up and comers. They're going to be, you know, they could be out there vying for the NFC title. And, you know, you look at a line like that, as you point out, Pittsburgh by 10, Seattle by 8. These are lines that I'll be using for Thursday night's program. Houston favored by 3.5, Green Bay 4.5. That's the line I've got on the Green Bay game, 4.5. And that's in Green Bay, where I would suspect it's going to be typical Green Bay favored playoff weather. All right, you know.
I don't think that's a big factor though with the Giants. The Giants play in the cold. They're a Northeast, you know, team. They play outside. You know, it's not. I don't think it's much of. It may be colder in Green Bay, but I don't know that it's as much of a shock to the system as it would be, say, you know, like the Dolphins, you know, going to a cold weather city. I mean, I think the Giants are equipped to play in the cold. I'll be honest with you. I believe the stadium, the Green Bay Stadium itself is a big advantage to the Packers. I think they have one of the more unique surfaces because they still have 100% grass, which most of these teams now have some kind of a hybrid system, you know, where they have some turf, some grass, or all turf that looks like grass. You know, I think the Packers have one of the, you know, few that's all grass, and they're used to playing on that in the cold. I think that's a big, you know, advantage for the Packers going into this over the Giants. I think it's not just the, you know, the outdoor, the cold. I think it's the surface. I think it's a little bit of everything, you know, everything lining up well for the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the national love of the Giants. I mean, the Giants, they've been, you know, I think they've kind of limped along most of this year they win. When they win, they don't win spectacularly. They just do it, you know, just enough. But, you know, I think when push comes to shove, the fact that, you know, they got lucky against Dallas in the first game of the season, you know, they swept Dallas because of, you know, some boneheaded receivers on the Cowboys. The second game they earned, I'll give them that. I'm not going to, you know, take that away from them. But, you know, I don't see the Giants going very far, I'll be honest. I don't see them going past this game. Obviously, I see, again, we didn't want to give our picks, but, you know, it's hard to talk about these games without sort of giving a pick in a roundabout way.
The, the Giants are a big question mark. They're an anomaly in some respects, because you look at it, you go, they're 11-5. I mean, they're 11-5. For all intent and purpose, they're, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. They're the fifth best team in the NFL with an 11-5 record. They've got a better division record than the Dallas Cowboys. They're 4-2 in their own division. Dallas Cowboys were 3-3. All three of the Dallas Cowboys losses came within their own division. Of course,
well,
two of them came to the Giants.
I'm not counting that last game this last week against the Eagles. They sat a lot of their starters most of the game. Dallas wasn't trying to, you know, they had nothing to play for, and they were, you know, doing what they were doing. They played Mark Sanchez most of that game. I'm not counting that as a, I mean, yeah, I guess it counts as a loss and as a division loss, but yeah, I look at that one, you know, the way it should be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You essentially were playing your third string quarterback.
Prescott was in for the first series, and then Tony Romo came in and lit it up
for one series. Right.
Then
you got Mark Sanchez and his all his glory for the rest of the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I got you. I got you.
And
I
you know what?
You.
The Eagles were losing the game while Prescott and Romo were in. Not until Sanchez came in did they start to win and pull away. So.
Oh, yeah. Boy. All right, since we're talking about the NFC East for a moment, go over to that Washington Redskins team, and since we're still on this Giants Redskins matchup, all Washington had to do, and you know we didn't have this one in our conversation on Thursday night. I should have. I missed it. I was an idiot. It should have been one of our picks of the week. Should have been this particular game. But it wasn't, as it turned out. Should have been. If I had picked this game going, you know, from last Thursday night, I would have picked Washington. I would have picked the Giants as well. Yeah.
No. The Giants had nothing to play for. Yet, you know, I didn't see all of the game just because of the way my day went that day. That was the 4 o'clock games I didn't see as much of. But I didn't hear that they sat anybody. I think everybody played for the Giants. I don't think Eli Manning was replaced or nothing. So, you know, they really didn't have anything to play for. They were set where they were in their position. You know, they weren't going to, you know, they could have lost and still been the first wild card. They still would have been 5 no matter what. So I'm not sure, you know, how that played out.
Yeah, I was actually shocked. I was actually shocked because the word had been for almost the entire week that the Giants would not play their starters. And yet, Eli Manning played the entire game, as I pointed out. It was evident that the Giants came out with a game plan against Washington. They were purposeful in running a game, a ground game. As I pointed out, 161 yards on the ground, 52 from Rashid Jennings, another 102 from Paul Perkins. I mean, it was evident that they had a game plan, that they were not giving this game away. At the same time, despite that, the case being the case, what do you make of this Washington Redskins team, which won the division last year and didn't even make the playoffs this year, when all they had to do was, as I pointed out, just win one game. That's all they had to do, and they would have walked away with a 9-7-1 record. What do you make of this Washington Redskins team? Are they appropriately a 500 team? Is that where they are? Is that what they are?
Yeah, I guess you got to go. Here's the thing to me. They looked like, to me, on paper, a better team than the Giants going into the
Agreed.
Year.
Agreed. I know. Isn't that the crazy thing?
I think they have more – it's hard to say. They have a good running back. They have solid receivers. One of the better tight ends when he's healthy in Jordan Reed. I think their quarterback is, marginally worse than Eli, but it's hard to say because I'm not a big Eli fan. And I don't know if you looked at Kirk Cousins' numbers and Eli Manning's numbers side by side, if you'd see much difference. I mean, that's just the feeling I'm getting, right off the top. Defensively, the Giants do not impress me. I don't like some of their players have gotten older. They've lost some. Some of the guys aren't what they used to be. So to me, I got to think it's a huge letdown for the Redskins. It's a game they should have won, everything was lining up that they should have won. But yet the Giants found a way to win. So, is it a matter of, that the Giants won the game, or did the Redskins lose it? Did some of the pressure, they had to win to get into the playoffs. Did that, have a little effect on them? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And therein lies the question that I basically, or one of the many questions I basically opened up the program with. Redskin fans, give us a holler, 347-826-9964. Because I'd love to hear from a Redskin fan and let me know what your thinking is here. It seems to me that the team now, had they won the game, had Washington won the game, they're in the playoffs. Look, they're sharing the playoff spotlight with not only the Dallas Cowboys, but with the New York Giants. It's irrelevant. There are no questions. Nobody's questioning the Washington Redskins. They made it back to the playoffs. There's no questions about them. Suddenly, there's a lot of questions about the Washington Redskins. And it was interesting today because where are all the questionings now revolving around? They're revolving around the quarterback there with Washington for next year. Because, of course, he was on a one-year franchise tag. Rumor is, believe this if you will, Washington will slap him with it again. Because Cousins has already implicated, well, guess what? I'm taking the gloves off. I'm not giving anybody anything now. You asked me to prove it. I proved it. You're going to pay now. And Washington, as early rumors are, Washington may very well hit him with the franchise tag one more year, which would be they can do it for one more, and then that would be it. Wow. The whole situation with Kirk Cousins could get really, really interesting in the offseason. I'm going to be honest with you, Brandon.
Well, okay. I didn't think that was necessarily it. I thought they could continue to hit him with the franchise tag if they so choose, but every year they do it, they got to pay him 20% more.
I don't think
so
it's indefinite.
I think
you're limited.
Oh, yeah.
You're limited.
I don't think it is. I think they can do it as long as they,
pay.
Yeah, it can go forever. But at that point, it becomes, are you going to pay him $30 million? I mean, think about it. I mean, he's already franchise tag for this year was probably closer to $20 million. Next year, they're going to pay him franchise
24.
Tag plus 20%.
24.
What was it?
Yeah, they're saying 24.
For this season?
They're saying
for
24
year.
For next year, yeah.
Is that the franchise tag number or what they'll have
yeah.
to pay in?
No, that would be the
Which
franchise
one?
Tag number, 24.
Okay, well, then you add 20% to what he made this year. And if it's more than $24 million, that's what he gets paid. Because that's the way it works for multiple franchise tags. So anyway, it's irrelevant. He earned a contract. I think he's proven that he's a solid, you know, NFL starter. I mean, some people may like him, some may not. He may fall into the, you know, Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton, Matt Ryan, you know, the middle tier quarterbacks, but so be it. Maybe he's on the lower end of that now. He has to prove it a little more, you know, but there's only going to be so many of the top guys. I mean, let's face it. You're only ever going to have at any given point in time, you know, one Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. Where do you go from there? Really? I mean, you want to throw Roethlisberger in there? Okay. We can throw him in the top tier. Who else you got, though, really, in the NFL that you would call a top tier quarterback anymore?
Kirk Cousins probably has a bit of an axe to grind.
When he looks around the league,
and he's seeing
without a doubt
Brock Osweiler sitting over there getting how much? 90
yeah,
million?
Right.
Was it seven? No, 76 million. I think it was. Something like that.
Yeah.
It was whatever it is. It's a ridiculous number. And he ain't earning it. He's not earning it. All right. At least that's the judgment. The judgment from Houston is Brock Osweiler is not earning it. So Kirk Cousins probably has a little bit of an axe to grind. And he's sitting there going, guess what? Hometown discount, my foot. You ain't getting nothing. Okay. You better come to me with a legit offer. I'm telling you, I think this whole situation could get really, really interesting with Kirk Cousins in the offseason. Because as I point out, you know what? I don't think there would be even an issue. I don't even think there'd be talk about it if, in fact, Washington had just won the game on Sunday. That's all they had to do. Had they won it, there'd be no talk. I really don't believe so, because I think what would have happened is, even if Washington had gotten into the wild card weekend, and even if they had gotten beaten in the first round, I think Washington then is coming to the table with Kirk Cousins and they're negotiating in good faith. I think all of a sudden, because of one game, all people are sitting there going, well, I don't know. Is he really our franchise quarterback? I don't know. In some respects, I get it, because you know what? He kind of grabs me as kind of an Alex Smith type. That's what Kirk Cousins grabs me as. He's a guy that
if that's the guy you're going to compare him to, they better sign him ASAP. Because Alex Smith is sitting as a number two seed on a team in the AFC that's pretty scary right now.
Well, I hear you, doesn't Alex Smith strike you as that kind where you look at him and you go, this guy shouldn't be a number two seed on a team, but somehow or another, Alex Smith goes out there and look.
Is a better quarterback than you're giving him credit for.
Well, see, you've
said that
before. I
think if you watch him, he can run. He's mobile. He's got a good arm. He makes the passes, you know, that he's asked to make. He doesn't make many mistakes. I think he's a good quarterback. I really do. Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
Kirk Cousins. Can I tell you
Kirk
the biggest
Cousins
drawback?
Kind of the same. Kind of the same.
Can I see that the biggest thing, though, that bothers me about Kirk Cousins? He looks a little on the smaller side, like a Drew Brees of stature. And you know, I think over the course of an NFL career, I think that can be limiting at times. You know, you're only going to find so many Drew Brees, you know, quarterbacks of that size that can do what Drew Brees has done. I mean, I don't think you can argue that Drew Brees is heading to the Hall of Fame with the numbers he's put up over the course of his career already. So Cousins reminds me more, you know, from a size point of view of him. See, Alex Smith is another one of the big, you know, 6'6", you know, tall, you know, pretty, you know, pretty good size quarterbacks, you know, and I think that's the one thing of if I was to sign Kirk Cousins as a general manager, I would be a little leery of. That he's a little on the smaller side. But other than that, I think he's proven he can play at this level. I don't know that I'm ready to – I don't think I would compare him to Alex Smith. I really don't. I think Alex Smith has done a lot more, you know, with what he's had over the last, I don't know, 6-8 years. I don't think Kirk Cousins is quite there yet. I do put him. I would probably see. It's tough. The guys in year wise, you got to look at. You know, for Cousins, you know, guys like Tannehill. How do you compare him to Tannehill? Who would you rather have, Kirk Cousins or Ryan Tannehill on your team? I personally would rather have Kirk Cousins because I think Tannehill makes too many mistakes. I think Cousins is more prone not to throw the bad interception.
Interesting. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Here's the question. How if say the Redskins and Kirk Cousins have like a horrible contract negotiation, it blows up and the Redskins pull the franchise tag, say, look, we're done with you. How do you think he does on the open market? Do you think he gets a big deal from somebody? I do. I think there's teams like Chicago, lots of teams out there who need a quarterback of the future that would be ready to write a check to Kirk Cousins.
Well,
if
Brock Osweiler got it with a smaller body of work than what we have from Kirk Cousins, I'd have to agree with you. You're probably right. We know that that's what's going to happen, right? The history would be there. The history's there to dictate that he would. I mean, simply because of the Brock Osweiler effect. The Brock Osweiler precedent is there. Now, the question will be whether anybody ever goes down the Brock Osweiler road again. See, there are a lot of teams that might be saying, hey, now we don't want to make the same mistake that they did in Houston. We don't want to do that now. See, so you know that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to do that. You know, it's not dissimilar, you know, to the, I'm trying to think of some, you know, early round draft quarterback draft picks, you know, the Ryan Leafs. Well, we don't want to do that now, see. And so
what's the difference? Think about it. Think about that. You know, you could draft somebody 1, 2, 3, 4 in the draft, and they could be Ryan Leaf, and you drafted him. Or you could sign a Brock Osweiler, and, you know, you take your chances. At least you have something to go on.
The amount of money. The guaranteed money. The length of the contract. That's what the difference is. That's what the difference is.
Yeah, I see you there. Your point there. Can I tell you I think the Buffalo Bills would be the perfect spot. They have a team that has a solid defense, a good running game, decent receivers in place. They're only really missing is a quarterback. Think about that. They got LeSean McCoy, you know, who's still got a few good years left on him as a running back. You know, they got Sammy Watkins. They got a couple other younger guys. They got Clay, the tight end, who's a solid player. They got quite a few pieces, and their defense in Buffalo is not terrible. You know what I mean? It may have been too complicated, but I think they have some good players on it. See, I think that's where Ryan missed the boat with Buffalo. I think they got good talent. He just maybe tried to overcomplicate things and, you know, should have just made it simple. I think the Ryan brothers tandem, you know, one or both, I think they can pick good talent. I don't think that's their problem. I think their problem is teaching aspect and you know, how complicated they want to make it. Yeah, implementation of it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, all that being said, a team like that is custom made for, you know, a Kirk Cousins. And just like Houston was pretty much for Osweiler, just Osweiler didn't quite live up to the bill yet.
Yeah.
Because they're stuck with him. He ain't going anywhere.
Agreed.
They're stuck with him for at least one more year. So,
at least one. Might be two. I'm not sure what the terms of the contract are.
How about this? The concussion to Savage that leads Osweiler to be the starter going into this playoff game, if he goes in and pulls a win off and looks good doing it, and then has, you know, a decent, maybe not a win, but a decent performance in the second round, you know, does that not change Houston's mind on Osweiler a little bit? Going
agreed.
Into next
yes, it
year,
would.
Give him,
it would.
You know, so.
It would. Yeah. Now, I will say this. I don't think anybody's mind was changed in last week's game.
No.
Because he did not look good coming in and taking over for Savage. In fact, he looked almost exactly the same. Tennessee won that game. I've got that game down as an honorable mention, but God bless Tennessee. Look at them getting a 9-7 record this season and not making the playoffs. I think that is stinking awesome for Tennessee. Way to go, Titans. Getting themselves a winning record and not making the playoffs. Hey, that is a team that is up and coming, just like as I pointed out at the top of the program, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a good season. Any Buccaneers fan that is sitting back right now feeling bad, hey, our team didn't make the playoffs, you shouldn't feel bad. That team had a winning season the first time, I believe I said, since 2010. So, hey, I think that's awesome for Tampa Bay. So Tampa Bay and Tennessee,
teams,
tip of the hat. Go ahead.
Those two teams are where the Raiders were, a year or two ago. They're on the way.
Yep.
They're building.
Absolutely.
They got young quarterbacks. They got, some of the pieces in place. They're just getting the rest in order. So, they're where the Raiders were. This was kind of going to be the first year the Raiders were going to get their payoff with Carr, had he not gotten injured. I mean, they were going to make noise. They were going to be, at a minimum, the number two seed. They had a chance at being the number one had Miami upset New England and they won against the Broncos. They could have been a number one seed even with everything that's happened to them. They still have a 12-4 record, which is, nothing to shake a stick at in the NFL. If you're 12-4, you're doing something right, So, that's the payoff, and that's where those two teams, are right now. They're where the Raiders were a year or two ago. I don't know, exactly. It's hard to pinpoint the exact progression, but, they're what the Raiders were, like I said, a year or two ago. And I don't see anything, but improvement coming. I mean, they get, both the quarterbacks will get another year. If the team's smart in the draft and they draft some good, pieces for the future, maybe not a blockbuster, but a decent free agent signing. Cause I think the days of the big free agent making an impact are slim and none anymore. Nobody's seemingly doing that. So, just add your pieces, add the right pieces to that team, those teams, and they're going to move up. And I'll be honest, both teams, I think, have the benefit of playing in a division where there's room to grow. I don't see, there's no juggernaut in either one of the AFC or the NFC South. I think the Panthers have, kind of had a chance to be, but they kind of, they were just awful this year. So, where do they go from here? I think the Buccaneers, at the end of the season, you got to say, okay, well, their future looks brighter than, at the very least, the Saints and the Panthers. I mean, those two teams are, they seem to be going the other way. So, the Falcons, we'll see. That they need defense, though. But, that's a whole other conversation. But, to your point about, the Buccaneers and the Titans, they certainly have nothing to hang their heads out.
And great analogy comparing it to the Raiders, who we've talked about right here on this platform now for the better part of two seasons, and said, watch those Raiders. Which leads me to the segue. Watch the Raiders this past weekend in week 17. And Brandon, it's not looking good going into week one. Wild card weekend. It sure isn't looking good. Raiders lost to the Denver Broncos. Now, this is a Denver Broncos team that really, they were playing at home. Maybe they had a little bit of pride to play for. Look, we didn't know it necessarily. Of course, they talked about it live during the game while the game was going on, that apparently Gary Kubiak had told the team, I'm not going to be returning next season. So maybe the Denver Broncos did have a little bit of pride to play for, going out playing for the coach, who all reports are, boy, Gary Kubiak is very well liked by, not only players, but by football statisticians and football minds all around the league, Gary Kubiak is viewed as a big, big loss, not just for Denver, but for the entire league. So maybe there was a little something there. But boy, this Oakland team, which has looked so darn good. First, they lose Matt McGloin. He goes 6 of 11 for 21 yards. In comes Connor Cook, and apparently the report is at this point right now, that is who will be your Raiders starter in Houston on Saturday afternoon at 4:30. So I got to tell you, it doesn't look good. 24-6, the Raiders dropped the game to the Denver Broncos. Who, you know, look, yeah, all right. They may have played for a little bit of pride, but if there's one thing I think the Denver Broncos realized coming out of that Sunday game, yeah, they may have won a game. Yeah, they may have won it for pride. Trevor Siemian, though, that's not their franchise quarterback. He's not the guy. That they do know. So, but nonetheless, the Oakland Raiders, I don't know. As we pointed out, it's going to be a tough game to pick when we have to pick it on Thursday night. I'm not ready to pick that game.
I'm not either.
You know,
I'll be honest
Oakland
with you.
And Texas.
That's one,
yeah.
I'm not lining up. I will say this. I did read a little thing where Jack Del Rio, the coach of the Raiders, came out and said, you know, I screwed up. We didn't game plan correctly. They need to rush the ball more. They need to have more of a ball control running
Agreed.
Attack is what they should have had with McGloin in there. They had McGloin back doing some of the same stuff that Carr was, and that's what got him hit and beat around. And so okay. So now we're going to the third quarterback, but at least if we know where we went wrong, maybe, and this is a good game. You know, if you know that's your issue, you can't play the same kind of offense you played under Carr. You're going to, you know, hand the ball off, play a more basic offense. I think this is the kind of a game to do it. Let's face it. I don't see the Texans as a team that scores a ton of points. You know, they're not a high power offense. So, you know, you could, the Raiders could stay in a game with the Texans playing that kind of a game.
Good point.
You know?
Good point.
It's going to be a low over-under. I would imagine – I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I would imagine that's probably the lowest over-under on the board, probably not even 40 points based on the fact that, you know, you're talking about, you know, quarterback, you know, roulette here, you know, for both these. I would venture a guess that they're putting this over-under somewhere in the, you know, mid to upper 30s because of the, you know, the fact that the game itself, you know – you're not even sure who's playing, you know, quarterback wise yet. Really. I mean, they're saying Cook for now for the Raiders, and the Texans have already said, you know, Osweiler, but here's the thing. If Savage is cleared and he's the backup, what's stopping O'Brien from giving Osweiler the hook and putting Savage in like he did two games ago? You know what I mean? So, you know, there's a lot of questions around, you know, the key position on offense in this game. So, you know, I think that's going to be a factor.
Good call on the over under. It's 36 and a half.
Okay. That's about what I was figuring. I didn't think I actually was, you know, when I had the number hit my mind, I was like, yeah, probably 37, maybe 38 at the most, you know, that's kind of what I was thinking to myself, but I don't know. I'm not a line setter. So, but, anyway, so that's actually right where I kind of expected, 36 and a half. All right, I'll take that. Anyway, but no, I don't expect that game to, you know, you might see this be a 17-10 or a 17-13 final score. I don't, you know, this could be a game where you don't even hit the over-under. It could be the under, you know, because of, you know, just what we see out of these teams. You know, neither one of them has a high scoring offense. I realize the Raiders don't have the best defense and they've allowed a lot of points, but I don't see the Texans exploiting that in any way, shape or form. So, you know, we'll just have
good
to see how it plays out.
good observation by Jack Del Rio. Of course, listen, that's his job. That's what he gets paid to do, is to observe exactly what his problems were. But as I was watching the game myself on Sunday, I'm sitting there going, where the hell is Latavius Murray? And in fact, I've been wondering for the better part of a couple of weeks now, Brandon, where the hell Latavius Murray has been. It seems that they've been wanting to go to DeAndre Washington much more frequently when they do go to the ground. Yet Latavius Murray has kind of been their bread and butter back now for the better part of a season and a half. And, I would think that, of course, you know, perhaps maybe he's signaling a little bit of what his game plan is going to be to the Houston Texans. But I would think that, going with a much greater ground game, excuse me, than what they had against the Broncos would be a smart move. They only had 57 yards on the ground against the Broncos. That's not too good. Not too good. Now, the one thing that that Denver was able to do against them, which I think which was a big part of it, and they're going to have to watch this against Houston, who, as you point out, has a defense. I wouldn't say their defense is as good as Denver's, but, hey, they got themselves a defense. Denver didn't let Oakland get the ball. They had time of possession by a full 10 minutes, 10 plus minutes more than the Oakland Raiders did. So by running that ball, which may have been a smarter move, they would have evened up that time of possession a little bit more, and it may have given them a better chance. But the matchup against Houston is not much different from the game plan perhaps Del Rio, as you're pointing out, is looking back on now, 2020 hindsight, Monday morning quarterback, and saying, maybe I better play the game against Houston the way that I should have played the game against Denver. That's what it's sounding like to me anyhow. Because like I said, I'm telling you, I've been looking for Latavius Murray. I like Murray. I like him as a running back, and I just don't know why all of a sudden he's become the invisible man. I don't get it.
I think he was injured in the middle of the season for a little while. I think he was dealing with like an ankle or something that slowed him down for a little while. I think by now he's probably hopefully healthy, and if he is, it's a good thing because they need him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, timing's good. Be fresh.
If Connor Cook can find a way to get some shorter passes out to Crabtree, to Cooper, to Amari Cooper, hey, all the better. That'll move the ball around a little bit. So Oakland certainly has a shot at this. I'm not saying they're completely out of it, but oh boy. No, it's no wonder they're the early underdog in this one.
Yep.
Go over and take a look real quick at the want to make sure we get it in before we get too late into the program here. But the Green Bay Packers,
yep,
who did what they had to do, but did, as I pointed out, what the Washington Redskins needed to do and didn't do. Green Bay just went out and won on the road in Detroit, beat Detroit 31-24. Aaron Rodgers, 27 of 39, 300 yards on the nose, 4 touchdowns, 126.0 passer rating. And then they had the ground game going. They've had it going in the past couple of weeks. They've suddenly found Ty Montgomery. Well, Montgomery was involved, but believe it or not, Brandon, the leading rusher was Aaron Ripkowski. Yeah. All of a sudden, they're finding the ground game. Aaron Rodgers ran for 42 yards himself on 10 carries. So That's evident. Rodgers running the ball against Detroit was part of the game plan. You don't run your quarterback 10 times unless it's part of the game plan. So,
yep.
153 yards Green Bay had on the ground. This is not something we have gotten used to seeing from Green Bay recently. Interestingly, you know, one of the things that's jumping out at me as we're looking at some of these box scores are, you know, it's evident that a lot of teams getting ready for the playoffs. Hey, we got to change this up. We've gotten too predictable. We don't have a ground game, or we throw the ball too much. We better start running the ball more. You know, we're seeing this with many teams. We got to change things up. Green Bay did that against Detroit. They changed things up. Their defense came to play. It was a close game. It was a fun game to watch. 0-0 at the end of the first quarter. It was 14-10 at halftime in favor of Detroit. And then, Green Bay came out in the fourth quarter, basically in the fourth quarter, and won it. I mean, it was an interesting, fun game to watch, interesting game to watch. Kept you on the edge, I got to tell you. It was a good one.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit showed they can hang with a real playoff team. That's you know, one of the things that I take away from this, Moach, is the way Detroit's played down the stretch. They had a really, really tough schedule to end the season. I think they played Dallas in there. They played, obviously, Green Bay. There was another game I think they had against another playoff team. And you know what? They still managed to make it in. That shows you something. That shows you they may not have won this last game, but they won enough even down the stretch when it mattered. And I think they hit the hottest team in football in the NFC at the very least is the Green Bay Packers. And barring something going really wrong, you know, I think you're headed for a Dallas Green Bay championship game. And I'll be honest, the way Dallas finished the year, they kind of finished on a bit of a whimper. They didn't finish strong. They had that late loss to the Giants in there. They lost to the Eagles. Granted, they didn't play their starters. See, this is a little bit of why I have a problem when they start, you know, benching or, you know, resting players and losing games. I think it can mess with teams' psyche a little. And I think Green Bay is hitting this just right. I think, you know, they made the best of a bad situation with losing Eddie Lacy. It took them a while to figure it out, but they got it figured out, and they've won, you know, six games in a row going into the playoffs. That's the way you got to go. That's the momentum you need. You know, Aaron Rodgers is banged up a little bit in there. He managed to play through it, kept winning, and now he's, you know, as you just said, running the ball for 40-some yards, you know, as part of the game plan. And that's what you need to win football games, and I think you're going to see, you know, the Packers go pretty far, you know, starting with the Giants. I you know, I'm not going to give away any more of my pick than I already have, but I think Green Bay, you know, is the team to beat right now in the NFC.
Well, interesting. I hear you, though, on the front end of your analysis there. Give a little praise to the Detroit Lions as well. Hey, they can
absolutely
hang with a team. Okay, now they've got themselves a challenge. And again,
yes,
without giving away any picks for this coming Thursday night when we come back at everybody on our Friday Out Sports Show. But they've got themselves a little bit of a challenge. They got to go into the house of the 12th man and play Seattle. Do you think they can hang with Seattle?
Well, I'll tell you what. Of all the teams that they could have played, I think this is the best matchup for them. They can play. They've shown if they get into a shootout type of game, they can hang to a certain degree, but eventually they fall short, like they did with Dallas, you know, the Packers. I think the Seahawks don't have that high power offense. I think it's the kind of game that Detroit can hang in. And if Detroit can hang into a game, you know, late into the fourth quarter and have an opportunity to win where they're not, you know, trading touchdowns back and forth, that's the kind of game Detroit's been winning this year. And I think, you know, of all the matchups they could have gotten round one, I think this is the one I think that they can do the most with. I really do. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not necessarily saying I'm ready to pick them just yet, but I'm liking what I see out of them. Mm-hmm. Their game, I think, is right to play against the Seattle team. You know, they don't have, you know, a super strong running attack, which Seattle's really good at stopping. Seattle's secondary isn't what it used to be. We already know that. I mean, Sherman's still, you know, a solid player, but the other side isn't what it used to be. And they've been vulnerable at times this year. That's the kind of thing Matt Stafford's gonna exploit. And you know, they do a lot with the receivers and the tight end. Ebron gets a lot of catches from the tight end position. I think you're going to see a lot of that in this game. And I think this is a matchup, you know, that if Detroit had to pick who they were playing in the playoffs round one, this is the game they would have rather played, to be honest with you.
Hmm. Interesting.
Now, clearly, being the sixth seed, if they win, they got to go back to Dallas. And they did not do too well the first time around against Dallas. It was a good game for, you know, two quarters, but, you know, eventually Dallas just out-muscled them in a shootout-type game. That game went back and forth, and, you know, Detroit was able to hang for a little while, but they couldn't hang throughout. So, you know, Detroit's path is, when you're the sixth seed, you know where you're going if you win. You're going to the highest left. That's the way it always goes. So, you know, if they beat Seattle, you know, and that's still an if. There's no, you know, I don't see any guarantees or anything, but, you know, if they beat Seattle, they know Dallas is next. So,
well, it's an interesting observation you make from the standpoint that if they get into a shootout with Seattle, excuse me, of course, one of the things with Seattle that we have seen all season long is they're not exactly proficiently offensive.
No.
The fact of the matter is Seattle never has been. There's been a lot of praise, a lot of accolades heaped upon Detroit and Matt Stafford in particular this season for exactly what we're talking about. And I got to tell you, I think one of their secret weapons in the past couple of weeks has been this Zach Zenner. Zach Zenner,
yep,
has just been, I'll tell you, I'm really impressed with him. If there's been any late season impressive sort out of this, aside from Tyreek Hill, it's got to be Zach Zenner, honest to God. I kind of give a little bit of an edge offensively to Detroit, but that offense up there in Seattle, when you got to go to Seattle, wow.
That's a tough place to play. You know,
yeah,
the weather's not favorable. It's outside. It's loud. You know, it's one of those. I think it's an intriguing game. I'll be honest with you. I don't see a stone cold lock winner coming out of this game from my point of view. I mean, I think you said the line was somewhere, what, about 7 or 8 or something you said earlier?
For Seattle, yeah.
That's
I actually think that's a little high. Yeah, I think that's high.
Yeah, the Lions makers are not giving the Lions any love in that deal. And it may be because they have lost a couple of games down the stretch here. You know, they had a tough schedule to finish out. You know, do they dig their heels in and get one win in the playoffs? You know, do a little upset? I don't know. Could be there. Could be in the cards for them. I don't know. We'll have to think about this a little more till Thursday's show, and we'll come up with an answer. But I want to watch every one of these games. There's not a single game I don't want to watch. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing. If I had to pick one as my least enjoyable game, it would probably be the Miami.
Pittsburgh and Miami.
Yep.
Pittsburgh and Miami.
That'd be the one
that,
you know, if I have to miss one, that's the one I'd miss.
Yeah,
but
I still
want to see it. You know what I'm saying? I just don't see that as being – that's going to be Pittsburgh – in my opinion, that's going to be Pittsburgh running up and down the field on them. You know, you're going to see a heavy dose of Bell, you know, maybe Antonio Brown, you know, the list goes on of potentials for Pittsburgh there.
Well, you know, I was just about to point out that we have seen lesser teams than Detroit
yep.
in the past two seasons go into Seattle and beat Seattle.
Yep. Like,
you
the
know,
Rams.
I, how many times? How many times?
Twice, I think.
Exactly. San Francisco. You know, we have seen Arizona, right?
Maybe no, you're talking all division teams for them right there, but, you know, I still think there's something to be said. You know, they're not as unbeatable
as they
once were at home.
It
right.
can be done. Yeah, it can be done.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like, oh my God, you know, we gotta go to Seattle, dear God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Anyhow, talking about a team though that. You know, it's always tough to play at home. How about the Kansas City Chiefs real quick? Because I brought up Tyreek Hill too, and I wanted to go over to Kansas City just to bring up his numbers anyhow. Because not so much rushing. Let's see what he did. Tyreek Hill for Kansas City this past week, who beat the San Diego Chargers 37-27. They beat them by 10 points. And won the AFC West. In absentia, basically. They just kind of walked in and took it over. Tyreek Hill had three carries and 15 yards. He had five receptions and 46 yards. I'm trying to think. Didn't he have a punt return or a kickoff return? I could have sworn
yeah.
I saw him. Yes, he did. There we go.
Yeah.
Punt return, 95 yards, punt return. Tyreek Hill, I'm trying to remember the last time that we didn't see him in the end zone in a weekend. Honest to God.
Yeah, right.
Tyreek Hill.
I kind of take a little bit of I don't like your word that they won in absentia. You know, they still had a 12-4 record. Yes, they were the benefactors.
They won.
Because the Raiders lost. I understand that, but. You can't take that away from a 12-4 team. You ain't backing into anything with a 12-4 record in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the Raiders managed to stay 12-4, you know, because they had, you know, enough wins ahead of time to be able to lose a couple games and still keep 12-4. You know, that's not the Raiders' fault, or the Chiefs' fault. You can't say that the Chiefs, you know, didn't earn it because, you know, they finished strong.
I'm not taking anything away from the Kansas City Chiefs, but I will ask this question. Had Derek Carr been in the game for the Oakland Raiders against the Denver Broncos, would they have won?
Well, that's a tough decision. That's tough based on what Kubiak said, and it might not have mattered because they might have won the week before. And then it would have been an issue if he Right.
Then it wouldn't matter.
So, yeah, I mean that's tough to say. You can't rewrite the fact that he got injured. I mean, it is what it is. That's the NFL. What happens if Alex Smith goes out on the first play of the next game the Chiefs play and he goes down for the rest of the year? Well, the Chiefs going to be probably in the same boat the Raiders are.
Well, I'm just defending my editorial, my commentary. In absentia?
No,
in absentia?
No, I disagree with that.
It
you
in
can't
absentia.
Say they didn't deserve
without
it.
Derek
at
Carr,
12 and
without
4.
Derek Carr, that's just
you can't mean. You can't say that about a 12-4 team in the NFL. I'm sorry. You know, if they were 10-6 and they backed into it because Carr got hurt. Okay, maybe. 12-4 in the NFL is 75% of your games. You won 75% of your games. And they did that in probably the hardest division in football. Because I think if you look at the rest of the AFC West, the Raiders, the Broncos, and even the Chargers. The Chargers are probably the worst of the, or the best of the worst teams in the finishing orders of your, of the divisions. If you go look at the bottom guy and the bottom team in each division, I bet you the Chargers are probably the best one of the bunch.
From the standpoint of what, though? Record?
Of just a team. Just no. I'm not saying record. I'm just saying as far as, you know, overall. You know, AFC. It's absolutely true in the AFC.
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, the Eagles are 7-9. The Eagles are 7-9. They were probably a better team than the Chargers. That might be the only last place team. Yep, they're the only last place team of any of the eight divisions in football that I say is they are better than every other one except possibly the Eagles. The Chargers are.
Really?
Who do you got?
Carolina
Jets?
Carolina Panthers.
The Jets? The Panthers. They're a joke. They have self-destructed all year. I think if they played each other, I think the Chargers would win that game. The Eagles would be the one. The Eagles would be the only one looking at it. And okay, I see what you're saying. The Panthers have one more win. Okay, but they don't pass the eye test. The Panthers have not looked good. And not that the Chargers have, but the Chargers at least hang with teams. Where, when the Panthers lose, they lose ugly. I don't know. My point is, AFC West is the best division in football this year. And to win that division, you know, it's hard to say, you know.
Wow. You think they were the best division? See, and I don't. I think the NFC East was the best division. I think the NFC East was the most competitive division.
Well, let's see. The first two teams in the West have the same record.
I agree.
The Cowboys won by
but
two games over the
your
Giants.
Your drop off thereafter.
All right. Well, let's do some math here. Let's just do the math.
You had
33, 38 wins.
We just ended up talking about the Washington Redskins. If the Washington Redskins had won, they'd be right now. We'd be talking about three teams from the same division.
Yes, absolutely. You're right.
So the NFC East has to be looked at as the best division in all of the NFL. They're a better division. They're a better division than the AFC West.
Okay. All right. Here's just looking at it head to head. Okay. Dallas and Kansas City, the first two. Okay. I might give Dallas the win, the nod. I think the Raiders with Derek Carr clearly are better than the Giants. I think the Broncos, with all their problems, are clearly better than the Redskins. And the Chargers and Eagles are a toss-up. So
okay.
It's tough to say. I'm just comparing them down. Okay, it can go either way. You could probably make an argument.
I think the Denver Broncos.
I don't think the Giants. I think the Giants are not a good team. They're 11-5. I think they're going to be, you know, a one and done in the playoffs. Where the Giants are going to be history after this week. We're not going to talk about the Giants anymore because I don't think they're that good. They don't look like a quality NFL playoff team. Where I think you could have at given times throughout the year made a case that the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Broncos all were at one point a quality, you know, NFL caliber playoff team. I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking at it. You know, I think, yes, Dallas is probably better than all the teams in the West. I'll give you that. At least based on the year they've had and when they play everybody. I think they are, you know. But from there on, I think it drops off a lot in the NFC East. I think they're all good teams, but I think you had better overall teams in the West that go further in the playoffs. Like, I think the Raiders were headed for the AFC title game before Carr got hurt. And I don't see any reason why the Chiefs can't make it there now. Do you see any of the other teams other than Dallas even having a shot at the NFC Championship game seriously. I mean, do you see the Giants beating the Packers? And then it depends what the other game is. They'd have to play Dallas round two if Seattle wins. So, you know, it may not even be possible to see the Giants and Cowboys in the NFC title game based on, you know, what other teams do. You know what I mean? They may end up having to play each other round two if the Giants beat the Packers.
Where I sit right now, I think that the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys
may just be
your NFC championship game. I might change my opinion by Thursday night, but not likely. I don't know if you can necessarily discount Atlanta, but I'm ready like you are to discount the Seattle Seahawks the way you're discounting the New York Giants. I don't think the Seattle Seahawks are all that. I think that the Seattle Seahawks might just be blue smoke and mirrors. That's my I've felt that way all season long.
I wholeheartedly agree with you, and I think you might see an upset in that game. I think this Lions team is equipped to beat. You know, that could be one of the – you always see in round one, you always see at least one, sometimes two, upset.
What I will relent on is this with regard to the comparison of the NFC East and the AFC West is that I think that the Denver Broncos are – definitely a better team than the Washington Redskins. Put the Washington Redskins and the Denver Broncos. I don't care where you put them. Put them in Washington or put them in Denver. It makes no never mind. Denver wins. Denver wins that game. So that's my personal opinion.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough call. It's a tough call. I think the AFC West has more champion potential than the NFC East. I think the NFC East has one team that could make a title game, and that's Dallas.
Right.
I think you had, at any given point in the West, three teams that could have potentially done it. I think the Raiders and Chiefs were already pulling away from the Broncos prior to our getting hurt, and you still had at least two legitimate title championship game, contenders. Where I don't think you ever had – I don't see the Giants as a viable NFC title game champ, you know, player. The only way I see one of them making it is if somehow Seattle and the Giants play each other next week. I don't know if that's even possible. You'd have to sit and figure it all out. I guess it's not possible because you got Atlanta and Dallas hosting the game. So, you know, there's no way you're going to see that, you know – that possibility make it. So, I don't know. I think you just have the top tier teams in the West are serious contenders, you know, no matter who it is, if, you know, given a healthy Derek Carr. I think the Raiders have their work cut out for him now, but I think they were clearly, you know, the choice to be the number two seed prior to that injury.
All right. Well, there we go. That's our we've run it right down to the last minute.
Uh-oh.
So let me.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. let me do this. Let me just remind everybody real quick, please. Yeah, if you want the kind of conversation you've just heard there, again, what you want to do is make sure you're here with us on Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, two full hours of it with myself and Brandon and Psychic and Matt Tobias, and we'll be going over everything that goes on in the world of sports right here on the Frat House Sports Show, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I'll be back here with you then on Saturday afternoon for another relaxed Frat House Saturday in advance of all of the wild card weekend festivities. All right, there you go. That's our program for this week. Many thanks for listening in. Hey, enjoy your football, enjoy your sports.